around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here. We'd like to welcome everyone today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday, and it is September the 13th, 2022. I trust your day has already been graced by the presence of God, and that God's Word is edifying, strengthening, empowering, encouraging, and emboldening you to run the race and finish the course with joy. I have many Bible passages of Scripture that I love. But one of my favorite passages is Acts 20, beginning at verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, that bond and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the grace, the gospel of God. What a powerful, powerful testimony in that Paul said, behold, I go bound in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what shall befall me when I get to a city, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth and say, Paul, bond and afflictions are abiding, awaiting you when you get to this city. But I love the man of God's disposition. He said, none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself. In other words, he's saying, I'm not self-centered. I'm not self-serving. I don't love myself more than I love what I'm doing for Christ. I love Christ more than myself. So I don't mind sacrificing my life for Christ and his service. And therefore, he said, I will testify the grace, the gospel of God. Both the grace of God is magnified in my life, and I will magnify that grace, and I will testify of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What a tremendous, tremendous testimony that the Apostle Paul had in his journey serving, laboring for Jesus the Lord Christ. I want to make quick mention of our book, America is Too Young to Die. I got a letter from a dear sister the other day. She said, I got the book. I could not put the book down. One lady wrote me, she said, I've already read the book three times. Three times. This book will bless you immensely for a love gift of $25. Postage paid. I hate to ask that for the book. But again, we're not making any money. We're just trying to get good reading material in your hands that will bless you. So if you want a copy of the book, go to the website and order it. Or just write us at Post Office Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. The book will bless you immensely. You will enjoy it greatly. Also, as you know, we just closed out the revival meeting. We're editing the audio, editing the video, trying to get it ready to send off to the company that will print, duplicate, put them in albums and cellophane wrap them, et cetera, et cetera. As soon as we get everything done, I'll give you a heads up on the dollar amount it cost. Whatever that dollar amount is, it will include postage and everything. And I know it will be a blessing to you. Those who came have just been testifying about how good the meeting was. It was different. It was unlike any meeting I've been in before. And as I said, Saturday morning, when Brother Jimmy D. Smith preached, he wept through the entire message. I'm seriously considering airing it on television. I know it will touch people's lives and hearts. Again, our meeting was not about this and that. It was a revival. It was all spiritual. And so many people said they were touched, ministered to by the grace of God, and for that we are humbled and blessed to see people touched in that magnitude and in that manner. We've been teaching on by faith. But I want to play a song today. Taranda Green is singing with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. It's a live performance. But I want you to listen to the words of this song, He's Been Faithful. He's Been Faithful. I pray it will bless your heart today.
Every tear,
one has been as faithful as Christ. Christ has truly, 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 truly been faithful to us. He'll always be faithful. That's his nature. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, Paul said, but God is faithful. John, 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We don't truly understand the magnitude of God's faithfulness. But he is faithful. In spite of our unfaithfulness. Oh, if we could just be somewhat like him in faithfulness, what kind of people would we be? I want to go to Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The children of Israel experienced some of the most powerful, dynamic moves of God that any nation has ever seen, heard, or experienced. God was faithful to his people. It was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, it wasn't by what Israel did that brought those walls down. It was by faith and believing what God told them to do. Remember the story? Rahab the harlot and the bringing down of the walls of Jericho. They were to march around the walls one time a day. But on the last day, they were to march 7 times. And then on the 7th time, they were to simply merely shout. Just praise God. That's all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the walls, by faith, fell down after they were compassed about 7 consecutive days, once a day, 6 straight days, and on the Sabbath day, the 7th day, they went marched around 7 times. Now, the reason those walls came down was because of their obedience to what he had commanded them to do. Some theologians say the walls were so thick that chariots could run 3 abreast on top of the walls. That's pretty thick. If a chariot is just 6 feet wide with the chariot and the wheels, etc., 3 sixes is 18, 18 feet thick. And the walls, yes, came down, but they came down, no doubt, in a very unusual way, where the earth helped to swallow some of the debris up. But they marched straight over the walls and they went into Jericho and they destroyed the city, and Rahab the harlot and her family were the only ones saved. But she too had faith. She too had faith in the God of those 2 spies. She said, I've heard about your God. You know, the devastation that came upon Egypt, the world empire. First renowned world empire was Egypt. It was, to this day, we see the magnificence of the pyramids and the Sphinx and all of those things there in Egypt. But the word of the great God of Israel traveled quickly across the land. Everyone heard, everyone knew about this God. By faith, in obeying the commandments of God, those walls were brought down. They had no track hose. They had no bulldozers. They had none of those things to mechanically, physically take down the walls. All they had was God. All they had was God. That's all we need in our lives is God. When God is in your life, that makes you a majority, not a minority. God delights in us when we trust in Him. Some of you listening to this day, you are grappling to trust God. You want to believe God. You want to acknowledge God. You believe God can do anything, but for whatever reason, you struggle to trust God with everything. Some things you can trust Him with, but other parts, other areas of your life, you fail in trusting Him. But like the song we just played a moment ago, He is faithful. When even you've been unfaithful, He remains faithful. That is His character. That is who He is. That is His makeup. He is a faithful God. After the razing of Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, great is thy faithfulness, Jeremiah said. I've been serving God now for over 44 years. Having come back to Him, God has always forever been faithful to me. I've never missed a house payment. I only missed meals when I was fasting. We've always had more than enough. That's what sufficient grace means. There's more than enough. You may not have a whole loaf of bread, but you got two-thirds. That's more than enough to make a half a dozen sandwiches. God is faithful. And God honors our faith. He reciprocates when we acknowledge our faith and say, God, I'm going to trust You in this matter. I'm going to trust You in this issue. The days are coming, and the days that are to come are perilous days, difficult, dangerous times. And God is going to make a divine way for the redeemed, the blood-bought, the church. I quote it so many times, I reminisce and I rehearse the verse in my mind, and that's Psalms 37:23. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, never seen the righteous forsaken. Never. Now, I want you to think about that. David experienced a lot of things in his life, a man of profuse wars. As I've said before, we don't read anywhere where David ever got nicked, lost a limb, a finger, a toe, fought a bear, fought a lion, fought hundreds of soldiers, went, Saul was trying to get David killed. So he sent him out. If I remember correctly, he said, I want you to get me 100 foreskins. David gets him 200. Folks, you got to kill adult men to get the foreskin. And David brought the 200 foreskin back to Saul in a bag and throwed it before Saul. And the Bible said Saul knew that God was with David because he knew what it took to take down that many men physically. They had to be killed. They had to be slain. And Saul recognized the faithfulness of God in David's life. When you have God on your side. It doesn't matter the gravity of the hour, the difficulty of the hour, the mountain of difficulty or the valley so deep. God, when he is for you, he will deliver you. He will succor you. He will enable you. He will empower you. You will get through what you're having to get through, and you will be victorious. And David was saying, looking back over my life, looking back over all the things in my life, I have never seen the righteous. That speaks of people who daily seek to live right and do that which is right in the sight of God. Never seen them forsaken. No matter the gravity, no matter how large or seemingly insurmountable the problem was, God has always helped those who were faithful. God always made a way. God can change every circumstance. God can change every situation. God said, I can make your enemies to be at peace with you. God has the power to make those who loathe and despise you. God has the power to send grace into these people in your life that may be your enemies or whatever. God has the power to send grace into their lives. And they instead of wanting to fight you, they want to be at peace with you. They don't know why they want to be at peace. They don't know why they lost the will to fight, to argue, to castigate, to condemn, to demean, to criticize, or whatever. They don't know why they've lost that, but they have. It's not the heart of the king and the hand of the Lord. Cannot God do anything? I've said it for quite some time now. Do we not believe that if God is God and he wanted Donald Trump to be in the presidency right now, he could have done that? We need to be asking ourselves, what's wrong with us that God wouldn't suffer? God would not allow that. The problem is never on God's part. The problem is on man's part. The disobedient is on man's part. The unbelief is on man's part. It's never on God. God, as the song said, is faithful all the time. It's we. It's we, you and me. We're the ones that are unfaithful. We're the ones that are not steadfast. We are the ones that allow the enemy, the devil, to move us. Some things are about to happen in the earth. Something is about to happen. Doors that are unfathomable are going to open for some people. Doors that were absolutely impossible. Doors that could have never in 1,000 years have been opened, but God is going to open the doors. God's going to pull down the walls of Jericho. God's going to make a way where there is no way. God's going to give you unfathomable favor with strangers and people that you would have never known if it weren't for the hand and the grace of God in your life. I believe that. There's a lot of land. There's an enormous amount of work that must be done. Last week in the revival meeting, I came back from the convention center on Saturday, and I was going to look at some news, and I turned on the local station. They were airing a college football game, North Carolina and Appalachian State. And as I watched the camera pan over the stadium, and I saw thousands and thousands and thousands of young people, and I wept. I said, God, how will they get saved? Who's going to tell them about you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Who's going to speak the word of God to their hearts and the word of God to their lives? Somebody's got to reach these young people for the kingdom of God. And except God does it, it'll not get done. This is why you and I must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You need to pick up your prayer life. You need to be more committed to Bible study. You need to miss a few meals a day or two in fasting. Show God you mean business. I said, show God you mean business. I want to see things like the walls of Jericho come down. I want to see things like the Red Sea parted. What may seem impossible to all of us is possible with God. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Saturday morning, I preached a message on that other spirit, the Holy Ghost, the 10 spies that went down with Joshua and Caleb to spy out the promised land. They came back and they said, oh, truly, 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 the land flows with milk and honey. But there are giants there. And because of that, we are not able to defeat the enemy. And Caleb changed one word. Instead of not, Caleb said, we are well able to defeat the enemy. We are well able. One word. The Holy Ghost changed one word from we are not able to we are well able to do this. They got the promised land. But every person 20 years and up never saw the promised land. They never got to go into it. Why? Unbelief. They didn't exercise their faith and say, I believe God. It would be in the third chapter of Exodus, I believe it's verse 8, where God spoke to Moses, said, I've heard the people's cry. I'm going to send you down to a land, a great land, a vast land that flows with milk and with honey. It was a spoken promise from God, a land flowing with milk and honey. And though those 10 spies witnessed the gravity of God's power in their lives time and time and time and time again, they still said, we are not able. But Caleb said, we are well able. We are well able to conquer the land. Remember Paul's words in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do any and everything I need to do. With God's help, I can do anything, Paul says. I can do it. I'm well able, not in myself. We've got to believe God here in this hour. I look at it like this in a sense. We're gathering to the starting line of a race that'll take us to the second advent of Christ. This has all been preliminary work. This has all been preliminary work in getting prepared, getting ready. And we're all at the starting blocks. We're on the starting block of the race. And the gun is about to be fired. And we're going to start running this race, and this race will take us to the finish line, to the second advent of Christ our Lord. Do you believe? Do you genuinely believe we're going to be faced with some mountains? We're going to be faced with some walls. We're going to be faced with some great bodies of water that seem to be insurmountable and uncrossable, but God is going to make a way. You must have faith. You must believe. You must trust Him. Do you really trust him? By the way, we're on World Harvest Television Saturday nights at 9:30 p.m. That's the Family Broadcasting Corporation, I believe, FBC, but I've always known it as World Harvest Television, Brother Lester Summerall. I got an email just this yesterday morning from TCT, Total Christian Television Network. They're offering us a 7:30 slot on Sunday afternoons. My faith is getting tested myself. Do I have faith to step out? Faith to step out and believe God to supply the financial needs to do this, because I am not going to ask for money. You don't know the times lately the devil's tempted me to ask, but I keep saying no, I'm going to trust God. Come on, just ask a little bit. Just beg a little bit, like a little puppy dog. Just beg a little bit. No. His seed does not have to beg for bread, David said. I believe if I pray and I am faithful to the gospel that he has called and ordained me to preach, I believe my God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. There is no shortage in the kingdom of God. There is no famine. There's no fluctuation in prices up today, down tomorrow, plenty today, none tomorrow. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. Out in the wilderness, out in the barrenness, God rained manna and opened up the rock and sent out rivers of water. There's nothing too hard for God. The problem is the church. The problem is the church. The church is backslidden. The church is tepid. The church is lukewarm. The church is indifferent. The church is not where it needs to be. My God, the early church, they sold things and they came and they laid the money at the apostles' feet. You don't see the apostles in the book of Acts begging for money, do you? How about miracle money? How about miracle water? How about miracle this and miracle that? You don't see that. What you see is the demonstrating power of the Holy Ghost of God. That was Paul's words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of power and of spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God. Paul said, my speech and my preaching, my oratory skills, that's not what Paul said he was relying upon. He said, I'm relying upon the Holy Ghost of God. There is nothing impossible with God. This is why I've been teaching this many weeks, so many weeks here for faith, 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 faith. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He knew it'd be a faithless generation. Not trusting, not believing, not acknowledging God. I believe 90% plus ministries would fold up tomorrow if they didn't ask for money anymore. I do. They just disappear. They would just disappear because they got to beg. Oh, no. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Are you of the seed of Abraham? If you are, then you are a heir with Christ Jesus. The seed doesn't beg. God wanted Israel to learn something from this great feat. You don't even need weapons. You don't need bulldozers, backhoes, track hoes. You don't need any of that to bring these walls down. Of course, they didn't have that stuff back then, but I'm just using modern terminology today. You don't need that. You don't need a tractor. Just march and walk around the walls. Obey me and watch what I will do. And you see, this way God gets all the glory, because nobody can say, well, I brought my 200 horsepower tractor over there and I did this. No, 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 no. All you did was believe God and walk. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You see, that was when Samuel had told Saul what to do. But like most people, Saul got in the flesh and thought, hey, I can do this my way. You know, I'm the king now. I'm the first king Israel has ever had. I'm the man. It's me. And they were to have destroyed the Amalekites, but they didn't. This was Saul's doing. And Saul lied. Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or listen to the voice of God than the fat of rams. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or to hear and obey the word of God than the fat of the rams. Saul lost the touch of God because of disobedience. When I read this, I think about Saul as being tested relative to obedience. You see, Achan done the same thing with the Amalekites as well. God said to Israel, all the spoil is mine. But Achan saw some gold and said, you know, I think I'll take this wedge of gold and I'll just hide it in my tent. Nobody will know what's going on. But they forget. God always knows what's going on. The next day they went to battle. 36 Israeli men lost their lives. Joshua goes back before the Lord. He says, what's going on? Why we lose men? God said, there's sin in the camp. This is why I preach against sin like I do. It is sin that destroys. It is sin that impedes the ability of God to work fluidly and effectively in all of our lives. If you've got sin in your life, you're hindering the work of God in your life. Now, you can blame your husband, you can blame your wife, you can blame your employer or whatever you want to blame, but if you know you've got sin in your life, you're hindering your own walk. You're impeding the hand of God in your own life. Don't think the devil won't set you up to fall. Don't think the devil will not create a circumstance or a situation to get you into a compromising position or posture, and you feel like you can't obey God now. I've said this for a long time. Don't ever get in that position. Don't ever get yourself in that posture where you've got to lie, cheat, steal, or be dishonest with your life. Don't do it. I'm telling you, it'll come back to haunt you. Be forthright. Be pure. Keep clean hands and a pure heart, because it will haunt you. Saul would to God, I assure you he would to God. He had obeyed the prophet Samuel and did what God said to do. To obey is better than sacrifice. You can fast and pray and tithe and do all of these things. And those are just works. But are you obeying? Are you obeying? Like God needs some help. God doesn't need help. All God needs is for you to listen to him and obey him by faith. Now, the Bible is clear. In the last days, there's going to be a great, great falling away. I don't see how anybody can read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and say, but I still believe we're going to be raptured out of here any moment. That is intellectually dishonest. Paul said the Lord's not going to return until there's a falling away and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You reread today. Everyone listening to me today, please. And I ask you to do this humbly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Read that. Read that and be honest with yourself. What does the Apostle Paul say? What does the Apostle Paul say? That day shall not come. What? The coming of our Lord and our gathering together unto him. He said that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We're in the throes of the falling away. We're in the throes of the departing from the faith. I mean, you look at the shenanigans that's taking place in the so-called church world. Oh, yeah. I left the air yesterday, and I said I was going to share something. I had dinner with a couple that I've known for 35 years. She's an anesthetist. She puts people to sleep. The drug propofol. That's what Michael Jackson died of. What she shared with me blew my mind away. People are stealing. This is in the surgery room. They're stealing this drug. Just small measures of it. Shooting up in their own arms, intravenously, some of that drug, propofol, And being somewhere where they can sleep for 10, 15 minutes. They say it is such a sleep. You get up reinvigorated. You get up energized. But what was astounding, what was appalling, they're stealing it from the patients. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Someone is having surgery in an operating room, and the person that's putting you to sleep is stealing. This shows you how terribly society has deteriorated. The more things I hear, now you think about what I'm saying. You're having surgery. Meaning life or death surgery, and the anesthetist, the anesthesiologist, whoever, is stealing medication for themselves. What kind of a conscience is that? You talk about a falling away. Preachers so-called professing Christians. I mean, they just live like hell and think nothing about it. I know some people don't like me. They say I'm just too negative. I am straight. That's what I am. I don't cut corners for nobody. I don't patty cake the message for anybody. I'm not going to water it down for anybody, because I'm going to stand before God Almighty one day, and I want to have clean hands and a pure heart and say, God, I did my best. Nope, I wasn't perfect. I didn't always preach a perfect message. My deliverance was not always perfect, et cetera, et cetera. But I did my best. And I tried to be faithful to you and the proclamation of your most holy word, Lord. That's what I tried to do. I am mesmerized at the letters and the emails. You are preaching such a pure, unadulterated word. You're so forthright. You're so transparent. You're telling us what we need to hear. You're not holding back. Hey, folks, I'm not supposed to be the only guy preaching like this and crying aloud like this. There should be hundreds and thousands of men crying out this kind of a message. But they've been bought and paid for by whoever, whatever, and they want to be liked and they want to be popular. I may share something next week. I don't know if I'll share it or not. You have no idea of how wicked. I'm talking about in Christianity. The things I hear from firsthand information, the things I read, my God, you got so many crooked preachers, it stinks to high heaven. These men aren't going to heaven, and they're trying to lead souls. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account. For they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And when I read that, I know that. And I think these men are not watching out for their own souls, much less your soul. And they want to be obeyed. Paul said, obey them that guide and rule over you. That's what that means in the Greek. They that guide and rule over you. Submit yourselves. The stuff I know, I wouldn't submit myself to these jacklegs for nothing in this world. They're not going to heaven, folks. They're not going to make it. Why aren't they going to make it, preacher? They don't live right. They cheat, they lie, they swindle, they do things to manipulate people for their own selfishness, their own selfishness. A lady shot me an email the other day. She's been quizzing me to no end. I don't really know who she is. She said, is there anybody in your administration, how many people in your administration that makes over $120,000 a year? None. Ain't nobody here makes that kind of money. This thing is so, the church, the nominal church, is a reflection of Washington, D.C. Embezzlement, crookedness, lying, cheating, adultery, fornication, drugging, drinking, liquor, gambling. And then when others like you who listen say, listen to Pastor Lankford, they hear one message and they turn me off. See, they don't want the truth. Washington doesn't want the truth. I mean, you got a man up there that is a portrait of Adolf Hitler. The harshness. They want civil unrest. They want a civil war. so they can shut this thing down and have despotic and dictatorial rule over the whole nation. I've said it, I'll say it again. I don't know which comes first, World War III or Civil War, but they're both coming. Which comes first, I can't say. Why is this going to happen, preacher? Sin. Why will America collapse? Sin. Why will there be civil war? Sin. Why is there such unrest? Sin. We are in a civil war right now, but I'm afraid it's about to become a hot, shots fired civil war. Biden says you need F-15s, Hornets, Jets. Did he mean AR-15? Was he really saying you better have jets to fight us, the government? This is a repeat of Hitler. I'm telling you, you could superimpose what happened nearly 100 years ago to what's happening right now, because it is a spiritual problem. And without salvation, without redemption, without the blood of Jesus Christ, men, Satan always raises up people to redo the same things again and again and again and again. You know, the hypocrisy. 0% inflation, Biden says. You remember that? When he held up his hand and said 0% inflation? Why then do we have the Inflation Act legislation? Between that and student loan forgiveness, Biden spent $1 trillion in August alone, and they're working on more. Crapo, ask the Democratic Senate if you're positive these 87,000 IRS agents are not going after the middle to lower class people. Let us amend the Inflation Act to say you're not going after these lower income people. And they said, no, we will not amend it. They're coming after you and I. Those who say we don't embrace that, we don't believe that, we dissent again, we're against that. Martin Niemoller, Dietrich Bonhoeffer both went to prison because they were critical of the government. And old pathetic Mike Pence some weeks ago said, don't say anything about the FBI. Don't say anything about the NSA, the CIA, the DOJ. That's what Hitler said. Don't criticize the alphabet agencies because it causes the people to get stirred up. We can't have people getting stirred up because we're going to rule you. This is why you must pray. You must stay in the Word of God. God loves us. You don't know how greatly the Holy Ghost is going to be grieved when this thing comes unglued, because it doesn't have to come unglued. It doesn't have to be this way. But it will be this way because we're going to reap what we have sown. You sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Old crying Chuck tried to say that, didn't know what he was talking about, but he knew how corrupt the institution is at the close of the day. Folks, they're all corrupt. They're all corrupt. Sin. Sin is so damning. Sin is so destructive. And nobody wants to talk about sin, even in the modern church. God help us. God help us. May you have a blessed remainder of the week. Prepare yourself, your family, the best you can. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Trust God. I said it before, I'll say it again. You do your part, God will make up the difference. You can't do everything, but do your part and watch Jehovah. He'll do his part and make up the difference in everywhere you're lacking in your life. God bless you. I'll see you Monday. Have a great week. Thank you for your love, your prayers, and your financial support for this ministry. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.